Hey, good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Josh, and I am the youth pastor here at the Dandenong Polish Church, and I'm really excited to be sharing this message with you this morning. We're in the middle of a series called Finding Hope, and we're looking at different circumstances and scenarios in which we can look and find hope in this world. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing around the topic of finding hope in the midst of our anxiety. And anxiety is something that can affect so many of us. And so I just want to look at a biblical perspective and dig into that this morning. But before I get there, you know, this week we got some good news in our state, in Victoria. Restrictions are eased slightly, and that ease of restriction may have given some of you hope. It may have let some of you know that, you know, it's not all that bad, that there is still some good and some positivity in this world, but it's still important to remember to be safe about this and to be cautious and not to go overboard, because then we'll just be back in lockdown again. So be safe and cautious during this time, but know that there is good news and that there is hopeful news during this time, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we can sort of start seeing that. Hope is such a beautiful and such an important thing. And hope is defined as an optimistic state of mind that is based on the expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. Or better put, you know, desire plus probability equals hope. And for some of us during this lockdown period, you know, there might have been no hope because, you know, we desired to do all these things and we didn't know what would be happening. So we, in a sense, had no hope. But now, you know, we can sort of have a sense of hope, a positive outlook. We can, you know, be joyful that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And there are certain things that can give us hope during these moments. And I just want to read two quotes about hope. It says, Martin Luther said, you know, everything that is done in this world is done by hope. Or Desmond Tutu famously said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. Hope keeps us going. It lets us know that there is more, that this is not it, that despite all the darkness, all the sadness, all the badness, all the evil, and all the chaos around us, that there is more, and this is not it. The gospel message that we believe in is a message of hope. It's one that gives us assurance. It lets us know that there is so much more to life. Yet despite all of that, we all face difficult times. We all get hurt. We all get let down. We all feel hopeless at some point in our life. It's inevitable. But hope helps us to see that there are many positive possibilities ahead of us. Hope whispers, things will get better. Hope puts the hurt and pain into perspective and reminds us that things are forever changing. When we are at our lowest point, it is hope that lifts our heads and shows us a path back towards something good. However, sometimes life gets in the way. Sometimes there's situations, sometimes there's letdowns, sometimes there's fears and worries and things that happen that get the best of us, that weigh us down and make us question. And sometimes it's hard to recognize hope. Sometimes it's hard to be hopeful. Sometimes fear, worry, and anxiety just get the best of us. And I want to explore and unpack that idea of anxiety this morning. And how can we go about finding hope in the midst of anxiety when the uncontrollable and the unknowable seem to get the best of us and weigh us down and cause us to question, where is God and where is hope in the midst of all of this? Where is God in our anxiety? And so I'm just going to spend the next few moments just unpacking anxiety. And right off the bat, the first thing I want to let you know is that anxiety is actually a normal feeling. It's something that all of us will experience in life. And I want to actually let you know that at normal levels, anxiety is actually a good thing. Did you know that stress and anxiety is actually good for us, even necessary? Generally speaking, anxiety is a normal reaction to stress. At normal levels, anxiety rouses us to action. See, I've got a few scenarios where anxiety has actually helped me. You know, growing up at home during the holidays, Mum would, leave me at home all day. She'd go out, but, you know, she let me know that while she was gone, she wanted the dishes done, she wanted the washing hung up, she wanted the house vacuumed, and all these things done. And I'm like, no worries, you've gone 8 hours. You know, I can play seven hours of video games and I'll dedicate 1 hour to chores. And, you know, Mum leaves the house, 1 hour goes, 2 hours goes, 3 hours goes. I haven't got to the chores yet. I know I still got time ahead of me. And before long, 8 hours has gone, I haven't done any chores, and I hear a car pull into the driveway. And then I hear the dog bark, and I think, wait a minute, wasn't there something I was supposed to do? And, you know, I got this feeling of anxiety, of panic, of worry that I haven't done any of the chores that Mum has asked me to do. And I have never done chores faster in my life between Mum pulling into the driveway and her coming to the front door. And it's anxiety that roused me to get all those things done. Or at college, you know, at the start of the semester, the lecturers will give you your assignment. And you think, fantastic, I have 2 months to plan, to prepare, to get the best possible essay I can do, and I'm going to do it week by week. But you know, 1 week goes, 2 week goes, a month goes, I haven't done anything. And my friends are in the same boat. You know, more weeks go, and then it's, you know, a few days before the assessment is due, and we haven't done anything, and we get this feeling of nervousness and anxiety and worry and panic, and it spurs us to action, and we get all the books, we get all the journal articles, and we furiously go through and highlight and panic, and it's that feeling of nervousness and anxiety that rouses us to action. See, the truth is that anxiety is a powerful motivating force, and it drives us to do things in a way that few other feelings do. It prepares us for action in dangerous situations. In fact, anxiety is a normal cognitive and psychological response that God has designed to call to attention the seriousness of event and motivate us to action. However, that's at normal levels. When it is no longer at normal levels, when it starts to get the best of us, when it starts to weigh us down, when it's all we can think about and it just seems to overwhelm us and we can't get our heads straight, then we might begin to have a problem. See, when anxiety is no longer at normal levels, these are some of the things you might be feeling. You might be feeling very worried or afraid most of the time. Tense and on edge. You might be nervous or scared. You might be panicky or irritable or agitated. You're worried. You're going crazy. You're detached from your body. Or you might be thinking something along the lines of, everything's going to go wrong. I might die. I can't handle the way I feel. I can't focus on anything but my worries. I don't want to go out today. I can't calm myself down. So those are some of the things you might be feeling or thinking. Or you might be experiencing sleep problems, a pounding heart, sweating, pins and needles, tummy aches, churning stomach, lightheadedness or dizziness, twitches or trembling, excessive thirst. See, these feelings or these thoughts or these experiences that we have might affect our daily activities. They are difficult to control and are out of proportion to the actual danger, and they can last a long time. See, when these constant repetitive thoughts and feelings take over, we can feel overwhelmed, lose sleep, feel exhausted, and start to avoid social situations. See, when these anxious thoughts or feelings don't go away or happen without any particular reason, it may be hard to cope with daily life, and it might be the sign of an anxiety condition. It might be the sign that there is more than what we can handle. And did you know that anxiety conditions are actually on the rise in our society, especially in the Western world? Statistics tell us that ever since 1950, anxiety among young people is just on the incline. It's just rising and rising year by year, day by day. And when I researched anxiety and the causes and how it's affecting us, it's associated with a lack of social connection, which is crazy because we have the internet and we seem to be more connected than ever. But despite the fact that we're connected online, we have a lack of social connection with the people around us, with our families, with our close friends. Not only is it a lack of social connection, but it's a more threatening environment amongst young people. So life is constantly changing, and the rapid pace of change in our culture and our technology is changing so fast that, in particular, my generation, we have no solid ground to stand on. We have no cultural stability in a sense. See, it's great that technology is advancing and that culture is advancing, but at the same time, it's also hindering us because we can't ground ourselves in those things. And so we need to learn how to ground ourselves in God's word. See, in the midst of our anxiety, we can find hope in God's word and the promises that he brings. But I still just want to touch on anxiety. The fact is, anxiety is real. You know, it's when the uncontrollable and the unknowable seem to collide and we seem to get overwhelmed with those facts. Anxiety is a common mental health condition in Australia. On average, 1 in 4 people in Australia will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. In a recent study, in a 12-month period, over 2 million Australians experienced anxiety. And as we unpack it and as we delve into it, there is no statistic that says Christians have less anxiety. We are all affected by this condition at some level. Anxiety is real, and I'm not going to pretend it isn't. And I'm not going to say that I have all the answers, and it's not something that I can unpack and address in a single sermon, nor is it something that could be unpacked in a month. Anxiety is complex and it's real, but you know what the beauty of it? Scripture speaks to anxiety. It gives us reassurance and it calms us and it gives us a perspective of hope. And I just want to say that if you suffer from anxiety, if it's something that overwhelms and burdens you, that you are not alone. And it's not a lack of faith, or, you know, a result of sin. It's something that we all experience and are affected by. And if it's overwhelming you and if it's burdening you, I just want to encourage you to speak to someone about it. Speak to your pastors. You can speak to a counselor or a therapist or a psychologist. You know, these are, you know, important things, and they can actually really help us. And it's okay to see a therapist, and it's okay to talk to Jesus at the same time. It's not a lack of faith or a lack of prayer. It's a condition that affects so many people. And I just want to say that you are loved and supported in this place, and that, you know, despite what you're going through, God loves you as well. And so I just want to take a look at Scripture and what Scripture has to say about anxiety and about how it affects and how it impacts our lives. So I love that, you know, Scripture actually speaks to this. And here's just a few verses in some of the Psalms. In Psalm 94, David says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul." Or in Psalm 34, David says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Or Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know all my anxieties." And those are just a few examples, and there's many more throughout the Psalms that speak to the reality of anxiety. But what we can gather is that the Scriptures do not teach that anxiety is a sin, but rather that we are to anticipate and expect that we all will experience fear and anxiety at some level. It speaks to the realness and reality that anxiety affects us. And one of my all-time favorite verses comes from 1 Peter 5:7. And 1 Peter 5:7 simply says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." See, that idea of cast or throw or get rid of take off completely. This word is also used in Luke when Jesus told the disciples to go and get and prepare the donkey that he would ride on. And see, in Luke, it says that the disciples cast off their coats, they cast off their jackets, and they put it onto the donkey. And it was them, they were no longer carrying the jackets, but now it was the donkey carrying it for them. And it indicates that the person who is carrying around a burden needs to actively take it off and relocate it. See, we're not meant to carry our burdens. We're not meant to carry our worries and our fears and our anxieties alone. We're meant to cast it off completely, to take it off, to throw it onto God. See, the reality is that he wants to journey with us in the pain, that he wants to take that load off us. But the problem is that we still want to hold on to it. We want to do things our way. We want to, I guess, get a hold of it ourselves. Or maybe we think that, you know, God doesn't care about my struggle. God doesn't care about my worry. God doesn't care about my anxiety. And I'll deal with it myself. And once I've dealt with it, I can come to him. But God wants to know your anxiety. God wants to know what you're struggling with. And he wants to journey with you. See, and I want to ask a challenging question here. Do we trust God enough with our anxiety, with our worry, with our fear? Do we trust him enough to handle it and take care of it? Do we realize just how much he cares about our anxiety and about our worries and about our struggles? See, here's a challenging thought. Our fears might reveal where we're relying on our own strength and our own efforts rather than relying and trusting on God with our struggles and our worries and our anxieties and our burdens. And I just want to do a short little illustration here, a short little object lesson. And so I'm just pause, with bear with me for a second while we just get it up on the stage. Thank you, Philip, for just helping me here really quickly. Thank you so much. So think of worries, think of anxiety, think of that fear or that burden or that worry you have. You know, here we have our worries. And you know, we read this verse, 1 Peter 5:7, you know, cast all your cares, cast all your worries, cast all your anxiety to God. And we think, okay, great. And in a moment of faith, we take our worry and we put it to God. And we think, oh, God, you haven't done anything. I'm taking it back because you haven't done anything and I want to do it myself. But you know what the problem is here? Our worry is too big. Our God is too small. And you know what you need? You need a bigger God and a smaller worry. And when you take that anxiety, when you take that worry, and then you take it, and in a moment of faith, it's now hidden inside of Christ. God takes care of your worry. God takes care of your fear. God takes care of your anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7 speaks to the reality of just how much God cares. God cares about that worry. God cares about that struggle. That thing that no one knows about, God cares. And what's bigger? Your fear, your worry, that burden, that anxiety you have, or is God bigger? See, these worries and these fears and these thoughts and feelings that we have, we need to let God use. We need to give them over to Him and acknowledge the big worries and the small worries. God wants all of it. See, faith doesn't mean that you won't get afraid. Faith doesn't mean that you won't be affected by anxiety or about worry. But faith means that you won't let those things stop you. Do you realize how much God cares? He cares about all the parts of you. 1 Peter 5:7 tells me that He cares about the big and the small. And those parts I don't want anyone to know about, God wants to know about. And I just want to unpack what this verse does and doesn't say. 1 Peter 5:7 says He cares. But I don't read in that verse where it says He will take away your anxiety. He will take away your worry. It says He will journey with us, that He is present in the pain. Even the Psalms, as we look throughout the Psalms, it never acknowledges that it takes it away, but rather that God is there and God is walking with us. And we have a God who is present in the pain. We have a God who comes alongside us. He walks with us and He holds our hand and He says, hey, everything's going to be okay. You're in this season right now. You're in this moment right now, but this is not all there is. See, the great truth in the Bible, what it teaches about anxiety, is that we all struggle. But God is present, taking care of our needs and providing the sustaining grace needed to persevere in a fallen world. And yeah, I read 1 Peter 5:7, but I also want to read around it because I think that's really important and really beautiful as well. And verse 7 is actually linked to verse 6. It actually forms one sentence. And so verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Therefore, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. See, that idea of humbling and casting, they're linked. It's through humbling ourselves and acknowledging that we don't have it all together, that we're broken, and acknowledging that He is the only one that can help us goes a long way to realizing just how much He cares. See, we need to admit that we're broken. We need to admit that we're overwhelmed, that we're burdened by what's going on. And we need to admit that God cares deeply about that hurt, about that worry, about that anxiety, about that small issue that we have. God cares about it. He cares about all the parts. He doesn't just want the good parts of you. He wants the bad parts of you, and He wants to take care of you. Can you give that anxiety? Can you give that worry over to Him? You know, a small activity you can do instead of, you know, just praying these prayers. Write down that fear, that worry, that anxious thought or feeling that you have. Write it down. on a piece of paper and then literally just hand it over. Hand it over as a sign of surrender to God. So you might think that God is way too important or way too big to care about that small little anxiety or that small little anxious feeling you have. But God is telling us that he cares about you. See, it's arrogant to keep your anxieties to yourself and not give all your worries and cares to God. Proud people take matters into their own hand. Humble people trust God. The very way you humble yourself is by casting all your anxieties onto God. Not just some of them, not just the big ones, but all of them. That's the relationship between humility and anxiety. Humble people cast all their anxieties on God. Proud people don't. Proud people worry. And then I'm just going to read from verse 8 as well. It says, "Then be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Be alert and of sober mind. Or as some translations say, be aware or be watchful of your thoughts. See, verse 8 is then linking to the mind and the thoughts we have. You know, a lot of the battles we face, the worries that we have, the fears, the anxious thoughts, it all comes from the mind. See, that battle we have, the battle we face, the battles we have, it all comes from our thoughts and our minds, and that's where the battle is. Verse 8 reminds us to be captive of our thoughts, to be aware, to be alert. The battle is in our mind. And I love what Dr. Caroline Leaf has to say. She's a cognitive neuroscientist, meaning she spends a lot of time studying the brain and our thoughts and how they impact and affect us. She's also a Christian and a firm believer. And I love what she has to say. She says, 75 to 95% of all illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally, and it's making us sick. See, our thoughts are important, and we need to be constantly aware of what's going on up here. See, our thoughts control your mind, and what controls your mind controls your life. So what are your thoughts drifting towards? What are your feelings and thoughts drifting towards during this time? What voices are you letting speak to you right now? What battle is going on in your mind? Get into the Word so that the Word can get into you. Peter reminds us to cast all our fears and all our worries and all our anxious thoughts to him. But it also encourages us to fixate our thoughts on him. And when we begin to focus on him, we start to get a greater reality of what's going on, about how great he is in our life. I love what Psalm 43 has to say. You know, and if you read Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 as a whole, they're connected. And it's this emotional rollercoaster that David seems to go on. And he keeps using this phrase, "My soul, why are you so downcast?" It appears 7 or 8 times through the two Psalms. But despite the fact that David would always say, "Why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" You know, he was saying that he was anxious, that he was worried, that he was distressed and disturbed. But despite all these feelings that he had, despite this emotional rollercoaster that he was going on, he was always able to say, see, I'm going to read the verse as a whole. It says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" And then he says, "Put your hope in God, yet I will praise him, my Savior and my God." Despite everything that was going on in David's life, he could recognize who God was. He could recognize the greater reality of God. Yes, this season was getting him down. Yes, this moment was getting him down. Yes, this thought or this feeling or this anxiety was weighing him down. But he could remember who God was in that moment. And yes, we might have some anxious thoughts and feelings and it may be weighing us down. But can we remember who God is and that he is a greater reality and that he is helping us through this season, that he is journeying with us, that he is present in the pain and he cares? I'm just going to read Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." And when you read that at first glance, it seems a bit interesting. Delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So does that mean when I spend time with God, he'll give me whatever I want? Okay, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. I want $1 million. No, that's not what this verse is saying. And when you understand the Hebrew a bit better, it's a powerful verse. In the Hebrew, the word delight gives us a word picture. That word delight in Hebrew is agog, and it means to be soft or to be pliable or moldable, in a sense, sort of like clay. And so as we delight in the Lord, or as we spend time with the Lord, you know, it's no longer our desires, but His desires that He's putting on our heart. And then the more and more we take that time to sit and spend with God, we become shaped to be more and more like Him. As we start to delight in Him, He puts His desires on our heart. And we no longer want the temporary. We no longer want the things of this world. And we start to realize the greater reality of God working in our life. I want less and less of what the world's offering and less of what I want and more of what God wants. See, the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. Start spending some time with God. Take time to delight in God. Remember who He is during this time. And one final passage that talks about the mind and how important it is to submit our thoughts to God comes from Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." Fear and anxiety, they're all part of the human imperfection that needs ongoing transformation from the inside out. Are you allowing yourself, are you allowing your mind to be transformed daily? Those anxious thoughts, those anxious feelings you have. Can you take time delighting in God? Can you take time to allow Him to transform you from the inside out? Can you take that time to cast all your worries, all your fears, all your anxious thoughts and feelings over to Him? Yes, anxiety is real. Yes, it affects so many of us. There is no doubting that. But we have a God who is actively involved in our lives. The Bible constantly reminds you of that. We can find hope knowing that He walks alongside us in the pain, providing the grace we need to face each day. Have hope knowing that God is far greater than your anxiety and that He is in the midst of your pain. And I just want to share with you some lyrics that have really impacted me. And whenever anxiety seems to be getting the best of me, whenever these thoughts and these feelings seem to be overwhelming and overweighting me, it's always worship that I turn to. And this song is called Peace. And I encourage you, after this service, maybe spend this afternoon listening to it. You know, play it on Spotify, play it on YouTube, and close your eyes and listen to the lyrics. And it says, "You are peace to a restless soul. Peace when my thoughts wage war. Peace to an anxious heart. That's who you are." That's who you are. God provides peace in the midst of every situation we find ourselves in. And so I want to encourage you this day that God is with you in the pain. God is with you in those anxious thoughts and feelings. And know that He is providing a greater reality. And so I'm just going to say a prayer over us and over our church and over these thoughts and feelings that we have. So wherever you are, close your eyes, bow your heads, reflect on these words, meditate on these words. God of peace, still my anxious thoughts, comfort my weary heart. Hold my sinking hands, whisper goodness and mercy to my soul. I trust you, and as you do your work, I'm going to give my brain what it needs to function as clearly as possible. I hate this anxiety. Mental illness is terrible, to be honest. But I believe in a God who met three little Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace. I trust in a God who showed up in the middle of a storm-tossed sea. You sent angels to comfort Elijah when he wanted to die, and you gave Paul the strength to endure in all things. Your brand of inner calm can't be contained or explained, as your never-ending grace is the cornerstone of my wounded heart. As my fragile frame rocks back and forth, find me here, meet me with my fear, meet my fear with love. Wash over me with truth and grace, and quiet spun up my mind. As I swallow this meditation, guide me into the truth that you love me as I am and your love never fails. Jesus, we thank you so much for your sustaining grace. And I just want to pray over our church and over our thoughts and our feelings. And yes, anxiety can get the best of us. But Lord, you are greater than that. And so may we always remember that. And may we leave this service changed because of who you are. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.